Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everyone. I am Father God Darren Karp here with Mother God John Thrasher, doing some sort of Zen spiritual Tai Chi
Ooh, I like the
mixed
sound of
with
that.
voguing,
With just being
something.
gay. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
I will say,
You
love has
nailed it.
won because we always introduce each other as Father and Mother God. I do think that's the documentary that has stood the test of time on Shaken and Disturbed.
I agree. Well, certainly with our intro, if nothing else, but
It's just stuck with us, though.
I just will never forget, and I know you know exactly what I'm about to say, the feeling I had in those openings. Yeah, see, in those opening scenes of the blue corpse. It's
It's just like
just,
wrapped in Christmas tree lights. And you're just like, that was the first
it
20
was.
seconds of the duck?
And I remember, I feel like, yeah, it was. And I feel like you were like, no, you must watch this. There's no
And I
debate, there's
wasn't
no
wrong.
negotiation.
I
And
wasn't
you weren't
wrong.
wrong. It turned out to be a very fascinating conversation. I
Yes.
just will never forget the feeling. I remember where I was, what I was wearing. Like, it's one of those, you know where you were at 9/11, you knew where you were, like, da da da. Like, that is the type of trauma response I was having,
I think
you
even my
know?
brother had texted me. I can't remember if I watched it before him or he watched it before me, but I
Yeah.
have a vague memory of him texting me being like, you know, a doc's gonna be good when a corpse is wrapped up in Christmas lights and is like
Oh
colloidally
my God.
silver blue
Oh
in
my
the house.
God.
And you're like,
Yeah.
it is gonna be a good documentary. It very
That
much
turned
is.
out to be, he was dead on, no pun
Yeah, he was
intended
dead
on that
on.
one. Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into this week's case, John, if you don't mind. Let's get right to
Yes.
it. On
Let's
June
do it.
26th, 1953, Robert John Maudsley was born in, is it Speck? Speak?
Speak or spec
Can
somewhere
you
near
ask the
Liverpool?
internet how to pronounce
I'll ask
that?
the internet. Thank you.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
you do that. Yep.
The only saving grace here is that it's in Liverpool. It's not like in the
So
United
we h
States.
hands
So
off. We can't,
we
we
don't
have
have
nothing
to
to
know
say.
it because
Yeah,
it's
we
in
don't have
English. It's a
to
different intonation of
know.
English, so we're okay.
Speak,
Speak.
actually.
Okay, was born
Yep.
in Speke, Liverpool, as the fourth of 12 children. I mean, the middle child in 12 children is like what, 2 through 11, right?
What's that?
Like, if
Yeah.
you have 12 kids, the middle kid, you know how it's like
Would
a middle
be.
child syndrome? It's like you're not the oldest and you're not the youngest, you're
Yeah,
lost in
yeah.
the fold. So that's got to be number kid two, number two
Oh,
kid through
yeah, I see what you're
number
saying.
11
Yes.
kid, right? I mean,
Yeah, I would
that's.
imagine. Yeah.
Well, Robert and
It's a
his three
lot of kids.
older,
My
that's a
God.
lot of kids.
Yeah.
Robert and his three older siblings were removed from their parents' care shortly after birth due to parental neglect and placed in Nazareth House, which is a Roman Catholic orphanage in Crosby, Merseyside. Parental neglect, but you're going to have 12 of these kids?
You're just asking for it in a sense, right? I mean,
Well, then
having
you're
one kid
willfully
seems like a
evil.
lot.
Like it's sort
Yeah.
of one thing if like you know, you kind of don't realize maybe how much responsibility you have, but now to purposely do it 12 times seems
Well,
insane.
not, I don't know if this is exactly right, but we'll maybe see some more details in the episode. But I'm assuming if they went to a Roman Catholic orphanage, that they were Catholic as well.
Sure,
There's
which
the
is
whole birth
cultural.
control situation from the 50s and even still
Sure.
today, but yeah, that might
Well,
be part of it.
No, that's a good point. Take a drink. During his early years at the
Throwback.
orphanage, yeah, throwback. During his early years at the orphanage, Robert received basic care, but really little affection, which seemed to have left a lasting impression on a sense of security and trust. This is the hallmark of the start of a lot of things, people.
A
I
lot
was
of
just
these
having this,
episodes, right?
just having a conversation the other day about it really kind of starts in the home, you know, and I think
Yeah.
It really like that can turn something good into something evil kind of insidiously. And when Robert was 8 years old, his parents reclaimed him and his siblings, bringing them back to a family home in the Toxteth area of Liverpool, where he learned four more children had been born to the family. So now
Oh my
he's one of
goodness.
16. Okay,
Jeez,
just trying to keep it
wow.
simple. I mean, that's a sports team.
That's, yeah, that's like, yeah, a basketball team
That's
as
like
far
the
as I know.
Duggars, you know. The Duggars had
That's
what,
the
19 kids, 19 and
Duggars.
counting or something?
My God, I forgot about the Duggars.
Yeah. Well, upon returning home, Robert and his siblings were subjected to extreme and systematic physical abuse that escalated over time. This does beg the question of how they got custody kind of back to the
Yeah,
kids from
back,
this
yeah.
place. I don't know if it was so bad there, and you know. Well, their parents would single out children individually, administer beatings, and send them away, creating a constant environment of fear and anticipation of punishment. This is
I hate that.
cruel. Robert described one instance where he was locked in a room for 6 months, during which his father entered multiple times each day to beat him with sticks or rods, even breaking a 22 air rifle across his back. I'm reading these really deliberately because I just want everyone to
Yeah.
understand the cruelty of this. His childhood was dominated by beatings and abuse, leaving him with deep emotional and mental scars. I can't even begin to fathom. Robert later disclosed that sadly his father also sexually abused him. And these things kind of go hand in hand. I mean, this kind of anger that parents have towards their innocent children, especially this. I mean, this isn't just like, you did something wrong, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to spank
As a
you. This is
punishment,
the, right.
right?
This is like
Discipline.
torture,
Right, it is
which it,
torture.
which seems even like a light term to use. Clearly something going on with them, you know, and I'm wondering if we're going to learn that this is a cycle of abuse, that the parents both had this, and because you have to wonder, like, how are both of them like this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a great question too, because it seems like in some cases
Like,
that
what's the
kind
mom
of,
doing when the dad's beating the shit out of the kids? Like, I don't know.
no.
And I don't know if
And
she can do anything. Maybe she can't do anything. It's just,
yeah, and sometimes when people are like this, they're drawn and attracted to other people that have
it's the
that same kind
same.
of
Yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
Well, by the age of 16, Robert had fled Liverpool and traveled to London to escape the abuse and instability of his home life. In London, Robert developed a severe drug habit which consumed his daily life and became central to his survival. By the way, sounds like probably a coping technique here to be into the drugs after everything he had gone through. To sustain his addiction, Robert worked as a quote, rent boy, which is sort of slang for a young male sex worker, for those who don't know, which exposed him to even further sexual exploitation and abuse from much older men. During this time, Robert tried to end his life multiple times. He also sought psychiatric help, reporting that he heard voices instructing him to kill his parents. On March 14th, 1974, at the age of 21, Robert committed his first murder. A man named John Farrell, a 30-year-old builder and, by the way, convicted child molester, picked up Robert for a sexual encounter and brought him to his flat in North London. And during the visit, John revealed photographs of a child that he had abused, which
Jesus.
enraged Robert. Now, remember, Robert is a victim of this, according to reports, from his
Yeah.
childhood. So imagine feeling what that is like the trigger of having to see probably the biggest problem and issue that's ever happened to him up until that point, right?
I would
Well,
assume.
Robert, I guess, was so enraged, he even garroted John Farrell slowly, watching his face turn blue before striking him repeatedly with a hammer until he was dead. Yeah, go
Sorry, I was gonna say there's just
ahead.
it's a little Dextery how it's going, where he's kind of
Definitely,
like a
yeah.
murderer, but he's killing bad people.
The people that you
This is
wouldn't
sort
think,
of
yeah.
the dark side of like a Batman, right? I mean, this is how
Yeah.
superheroes kill people, but they kill the bad people, right? They
Right,
also
right.
save people. So it's like it's a very there's a lot of darkness actually in a
Yeah.
lot of superhero movies, and I'm sure there is a
That's
little bit of the
true.
light and the dark that you can talk about with Marvel, but
Right.
you know. Just right now, him starting to like commit murders, also him having the psychiatric breaks of thinking to kill his parents. It's like, this is awful all around. And I also can't really blame him because that's the only thing he knows.
That's the question I feel like we're going to have a lot today on this
Yeah.
episode is like, you know, murder is murder, of course, but if it's people that have done such horrible things like this, you have to sort of reconcile with what the motivation is and what the justice could be. And we'll get to that for sure.
Yeah.
After the murder, Robert actually surrendered himself to the police and requested psychiatric evaluation.
And that's
So
big.
he's not on the run. He's not hiding this. He's like, yeah, I did do that. And by the way, can you help me maybe a little bit? Sources are conflicted regarding Robert's legal outcome, actually, for the Farrell murder. Excuse me. Some indicate that he was actually convicted and sentenced to life imprisonment, while others actually state that he was found unfit to even stand trial. But either way, he was committed to Broadmoor Hospital for the criminally insane. So
Yes. No
we do
doubt
know
that
that
he
he
has,
did go there, at least.
right,
Yes.
no doubt that at least he could prove in the court of law that he was not under the
Right.
right mindset. Whether or not that happened, very interesting here.
And I think it's worth mentioning also, really quickly, that this is obviously happening in the UK, where laws and even I would say some records are a little bit different than how we would find things out in the United States in the press and
Sure.
things like that. So just keep that in mind as we go
Yeah,
through
it's
the
hard
rest
to
of this
know like how
episode.
they adjudicate things versus us, but you
Exactly.
know, so we're kind of going
In
off
the
the United
70s
States
as
version.
well.
Right.
Right.
So on February 26th, 1977, Robert and a fellow inmate barricaded themselves in a cell with another prisoner, David Francis, who is a convicted child predator. Now, listen, every documentary where someone's in prison or someone's talking about this is kind of like generally known in public. I've never interviewed a prisoner or anything like that, but they always say that the worst of the worst in prison, like the people everyone in prison also hates, are the child
Oh,
molesters.
yeah,
Like
you hear
there's
that all
some
the
like
time.
code, you know, where you're like,
Yep.
we don't fuck with children, you know,
Yeah.
and so when you're doing that, you're the lowest rung of the ladder. And
Yeah, it's like even like, the most heinous of murderers, no matter
killed
what,
400 women, still would be like, I'm not touching
all
children.
agree.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page about the children part. Yeah.
There is a moral code out there somewhere.
You,
Well,
yeah, somewhere out there. Yeah.
they tied David up and tortured him for over 9 or so hours, beating him until he died, very reminiscent of how Robert grew up. David's body
Right.
showed extensive bruising and evidence of repeated assaults during the prolonged attack. Unverified reports claim that officers found David's skull allegedly, quote, cracked open like a boiled egg, end quote, with a spoon lodged in his brain.
Ugh.
However, it should be noted that Robert has consistently denied this allegation.
Okay.
You know, how and when? I mean, listen, like one man's exaggeration over something can kind of,
Yeah.
if you've been beaten for 9 hours, I doubt it looked great. So it
Right,
could have been
nonetheless,
exaggeration.
either way. Yeah, exactly.
Now, some sources claimed Robert confessed to consuming part of David's brain. However, it also should be noted that these allegations are completely unverified. Despite the extreme, and maybe this is just an easy narrative to toss into, you know, but despite the
Yeah.
extreme violence of this killing, Robert was found fit to stand trial for the murder of David Francis. Again, sources differ on his conviction for this murder. Some indicate he was convicted of manslaughter, while others suggest he was convicted of murder and deemed untreatable, resulting in life imprisonment. And after the trial, Robert was transferred to Wakefield Prison in West Yorkshire, a maximum security facility nicknamed Monster Mansion. That's
Talk
not.
about some superhero Marvel stuff. That sounds like something you'd see
It
there.
does kind of actually, right? Like, or like from Space
Arkham
Jam,
Asylum or something.
you
Or yeah,
know? Yeah.
Space Jam. Yeah, that's a good one.
So Robert expressed unhappiness at the transfer and requested to return to Broadmoor. Unfortunately, he was denied by authorities.
So then on July 29th, 1978, shortly after his arrival at Wakefield, Robert committed, are you ready for this? His third and fourth murders. He invited 46-year-old inmate Salni Darwood, who was serving time for the manslaughter of his wife, as well as charges of sexual assault, into his cell. Robert did the same thing, garroted and then stabbed Salni before hiding the body under his bed. He then attempted to lure other inmates into his cell, but no one accepted his challenge, recognizing the extreme danger that he posed. I'm sure word got around Broadmoor that this guy is probably not someone you want to like spend any time with.
Yeah.
It also makes you wonder how he's able to like, I
Keep
think for
doing
me,
this?
well, yeah,
Yeah.
keep doing this, but for me, I'm willingly ignorant about how and why inmates get things. I've heard of inmates getting cell phones and going live on TikTok and things like that. To me, I always have this like naivete about, oh, they don't allow anything to get through the walls of a jail, but it's like really not true. You kind of hear about this
It's a
happening
whole
pretty
ecosystem
often.
going on down there. I mean, mafiosos and
Yeah, exactly.
gangsters run their whole,
Business or
operation
whatever.
through
Yeah.
prison. So
Right,
it's
right.
definitely possible. Yeah.
Yeah. So then next, Robert targeted 56-year-old inmate William Roberts, imprisoned for attempting to strangle and rape a 4-year-old girl. Robert stabbed William, hacked at his skull with a homemade dagger, and smashed his head against the wall until he was dead. So clearly,
Jeez.
now we're at victim number 4 here. We see the pattern, right? He's deliberately targeting the people that
Very
have
vigilante.
targeted him in a sense. Exactly. After killing William, Robert calmly walked into the prison officer's guard room, placed his knife on the desk, and informed them that there would be 2 fewer inmates for dinner that evening. Haunting, by the way, that's very haunting. Unverified claims circulated that Robert again inserted a spoon into William's skull, earning him the nickname Spoons, and prompting press reports dubbing him Hannibal the Cannibal, which he consistently denied. Robert later told his nephew that if he were placed on a wing with other child abusers, he would kill as many of them as possible, directly linking his violent behavior to his, of course, traumatic upbringing, which we
There's
talked about.
something weird about having clarity of knowing that you're doing this.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going into a blind rage. This is sort of like his
Yeah.
MO. And again, it's like killing bad guys doesn't
Yeah.
feel like the same way. They are all in prison, but it's like they still obviously have a right to live.
Right, of
So this
course.
is a
Yeah.
very odd case.
It's a weird case as we're getting through it to like pick a side almost. Like most of our show, our episodes, there's a killer and there's a victim, and you can sort of empathize with the victim being the prop, you know. But this one's like, ugh, what's
No,
going on here?
it's tough to call. I mean, I guess there's the silver lining, is perhaps like he's not doing it to children. You know, he's
Well, of
not
course,
doing
that's
the
a good
trauma
point.
that was done under him. There's he's
Good
trying to
point.
like, I guess, reverse that in a
Yeah.
psychotic way.
Yeah.
But in 1979, Robert faced trial for the double murder at Wakefield Prison. And during the trial, Robert explained that he imagined his victims as his parents, channeling the rage and aggression from years of abuse he suffered as a child. Robert stated, quote, "When I kill, I think I have my parents in mind," end quote. I'd say that's probably likely.
Yeah.
And reflected if he had killed his parents earlier, none of the subsequent victims would have died.
Oh
This is
boy, that's
a
interesting.
Isn't this kind of like a Ed Kempery type of
For
thing, you
sure.
know, case where he really just wanted to kill his mother? And
Something in there, yeah, for sure.
the court convicted Robert of double murder, and Home Secretary Michael Howard ordered that he should never be released. Due to the extreme risk he posed to others, prison authorities refused to place Robert in the general population and immediately placed him into
Yeah.
solitary confinement, which, by the way, I understand completely, but it ain't gonna help his
Yeah.
mental illness.
Well, that's
Solitary
fair too.
confinement ain't gonna do that.
Yep.
By 1983, Wakefield Prison constructed a special 2-cell glass cage in the basement to house Robert in almost complete isolation. I know what you're thinking. Silence of the Lambs,
Well,
Hannibal Lecter,
I thought
you
about
know.
that. I thought
Yeah.
about your other superhero metaphor, because if anyone has seen what was it? X2, X-Men United, they put
Yeah, that X-Men
Magneto.
United, that one,
Yeah,
for sure. It wasn't
they had to.
X-Men, the other one. It wasn't.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you
You're welcome. No, it
for
definitely
letting me
wasn't.
know.
I know because I've seen all of them so
You
many
love them
times.
and you know them by heart, of course.
Totally.
No, they put Magneto, who can control metal, in a very special plastic prison because that was the only way to control him.
Right.
Very
They need
similar situation.
Plastico to get. They can't put Plastico
Plastico.
in where Magneto is. They can't do that because that would
What was
be
his name again, really quick?
crazy. Plastico.
And the other guy?
Magneto, obviously.
Magneto. Yeah.
Yes.
Not
Yeah.
Magneto, but
That would be
Magneto.
stupid. That's a
That would be
stupid name.
crazy.
Yeah,
Okay,
that'd be
gotcha.
stupid.
Okay.
Okay, back to the
Okay,
case.
back to the actual story at hand.
The cell measured roughly 18 by 15 feet. Is this New York City? Contained bulletproof windows, a concrete bed slab, a table and chair made of compressed cardboard, and a small inner cage for meals with a slot at the bottom. Okay, well,
I
Robert
mean,
spent.
listen, when he's killing people left and right inside of this penitentiary or whatever, like that's
No,
what you got
I
to
don't know.
do in a sense.
I totally understand that. But, you
Yeah.
know, Robert spent 23 hours a day alone with only 1 hour of exercise under escort by 6 prison officers. It's just sort of like this guy had absolutely no fucking chance. And during early
Yeah,
solitary
I hear you.
confinement, Robert described the cell as, quote, like being buried alive in a concrete coffin. That's what it seems like to me. At Parkhurst Prison, Robert met psychiatrist Dr. Bob Johnson, who counseled him for 3 years and believed he was making progress in controlling his aggression. But his treatment ended when he was transferred back to Wakefield. And this is sort of the problem. And, you know, there's no one right solution with mental illness in this country, but follow-up and having stability in that follow-up is really important.
I agree with you 100%. Well, by March 2000, Robert Maudsley began writing letters to newspapers requesting that the terms of his confinement be relaxed. He asked why he could not have a pet budgie, explaining that he would care for it responsibly. Sounds like maybe like a British thing. I'm not 100% sure what
I'm
that
looking
even
up what a
is.
budgie is.
Yeah, look that up. He was also requested, excuse me, he also requested
It's a bird.
permission, a bird, thank you,
It's a bird.
to have a television in his cell, which would allow him to engage in solitary recreation. Robert expressed frustration at the extreme isolation, emphasizing that he wished for small comforts to make his confinement more bearable, which I think, to your point, Darren, is completely reasonable.
Right, you're like making him
Even,
go crazier.
yeah, right. What's that doing other than torturing someone? In these letters, he included a stark warning that if the prison service denied reasonable requests, he would take drastic action to end his life, indicating the severity of his despair. Around the same time, a woman named Jane Heaton, who was a campaigner, began res excuse me, began responding to Robert. She wrote to him, visited him multiple times, and advocated for an independent review of his conditions, arguing that extreme isolation without rehabilitation or treatment was inhumane. Jane Heaton's efforts focused on seeking psychiatric treatment and humane accommodations for Robert within the prison system. Robert's condition and confinement were consistently monitored, but no major relaxation of the rules occurred during this period.
See, that's, what's a TV gonna do? I mean, he can't kill a TV, so this just seems cruel, continuing sort of the cruelty. I'm
It
not saying we should do him
is.
any favors. I just think there has to be a better
Yeah,
way.
we're not trying to give him like a full 5-star spa in this
Yeah, no, not at
situation.
all. In 2003, Robert Maudsley was moved to Wakefield's prison's close supervision center, a high security unit designed for prisoners considered extremely dangerous to others. The close supervision center continued to isolate Robert from all other inmates, maintaining extreme solitary confinement to prevent further violence. And by this point, Robert had spent decades in confinement, most of it in near total isolation, as we were just talking about. On May 15th, 2017, following the death of Ian Brady, Robert Maudsley became the United Kingdom's longest serving prisoner. Just goes to show the difference between American prison systems and the UK, making over 64 years of incarceration in total, marking over 64 years of incarceration in total. And by July 25th, 2023, Robert had spent more than 16,500 consecutive days in solitary confinement, having celebrated his 70th birthday the previous month. Despite his long imprisonment, Robert remained under strict supervision with no contact with other inmates and minimal human interaction outside of prison staff.
Which is like, I almost feel like very
Hard.
hard. It's like, I'm not sympathetic for his actions, but we are all just human beings at the end of the day.
Yeah.
In March 2025, just a couple of months ago, Robert began a hunger strike in response to the confiscation of personal items, which included books, a music system, and a video game console. Again, I'm shocked. If someone's in solitary confinement, don't they kind of monitor how that stuff gets in and out? Like, I don't know, it's just confusing to me. But the hunger strike highlighted ongoing tensions between Robert and the prison administration regarding his treatment and the conditions of his confinement. In April, just a month later in 2025, Robert was transferred from Wakefield Prison to HM Prison Whitemoor, a Category A maximum security facility. There, 74-year-old Robert continues to be held under extreme security measures, ensuring that no contact with other prisoners and limited interactions with staff occur. And throughout these years, Robert's confinement has remained one of the strictest in the United Kingdom, with continuous isolation designed to manage the risk he poses to himself and others.
Yeah, designed to manage the risk he poses to others, not necessarily himself. Yeah, and the dude had no shot. Unfortunately, this is just a
Yeah.
tragic case from start to finish. I mean, if he ended up anything other than this, that would be a miracle. I hate
I
to say
know.
it.
And also, we don't have the research in front of us, but I also wonder if he's ever shown any remorse about any of this. You know, like it's not like these are necessarily random killings. He has a motivation here.
I don't know.
Or,
I mean, from what we know so
yeah.
far, I mean, I think he's shown remorse in terms of like recognizing that what he's doing is wrong,
Right.
or at least maybe not normal. But I don't think he has. I mean, again, I think he's like sort of proud of being able to rid the world of the people who have just
Yeah.
tortured him. So,
Right.
and he might be right that if he had killed his parents, not suggesting that, that none of these victims, these people would
Yeah.
still be alive, or at least not murdered by him. It's really hard to say, but it's shitty all around for sure.
It is. Let us know what you guys think about this episode. What are your thoughts about this solitary confinement? Do you think he should be spending 16,000 days with no human interaction? I want to think more about
Or
that
anything
myself.
really. No TV, no books,
Yeah.
no music. My God.
Yeah. Let us know at Jay Thrasher and at Carpe Darren. Hit us up in our Facebook group. And of course, if you're a patron or want to be a patron, hit us up on Patreon. Darren, let's do some listener shout outs because
Yeah,
they're
let's end
pretty
positively.
interesting this week. Yes. A few weeks ago, we were talking about snakes in our houses, in houses in general. And in our Facebook group, we were talking about this. Some of you actually even shared more of your stories. It seems like everyone's got a snake
And I didn't
story.
appreciate any of them,
And
I
you
gotta
didn't want to
say.
hear
So
this.
thank you. Yeah.
Well, you're gonna really love the listener shout out that Darren has here, guys. But
Yeah.
Kelsey on Facebook shared, quote, "When I was little, my dad brought home a 6-foot mountain garter snake because he thought it was cool. My sisters and I would put it on our shoulders and pretend to be Britney Spears at the VMAs. My mom came home and yelled at my dad, so he had to put it back in the wild." Kelsey, thank you for sharing that
Can we
story.
get the
That was
TV
so
cameras on
funny.
this family? I need
Yeah,
this
we need a
family.
reality TV
That's
show
just
at
an
Kelsey's
excellent
house.
like sitcom moment
It
of being
really
like,
is.
Ralph, you brought home the wrong the snake again. The girls are playing it like they're Britney Spears.
Guys, we've got a
That's
Britney Spears with a real snake up. Like, I was doing
also.
this with Beanie Babies, just to be clear, not real
Yeah, I mean, I
snakes.
wasn't doing it at all, to be clear, but at the same time, that's because I was like
You weren't a
being a
gay man.
tomboy.
Yeah,
Yeah, right.
exactly.
Well, this one, I can't believe I'm reading. This is truly
Yeah, get
haunting.
ready.
Caitlin shared, quote, "Back when I was with the ex I had, me, my mom, 1-year-old and 3-year-old in the house in the woods." That enough is terrifying.
I was just gonna say.
We were sitting in the house alone when I heard all of the pictures fall off from my fireplace. Is this John Thrasher? I
Know,
thought
right?
it was a ghost. I wish, crying laughing emoji. Nope. Turned out to be a garter. What is with the fucking garter snakes? Turned out to
Garter
be a
snakes.
garter snakes that was taller than my ex, about 6'5".
Oh my
His friend
God.
came and rescued me since he was at work. He just grabbed it. I'm pretty sure it was the same snake that I saw crawl into the bricks months before the ex decided to let him go so he'd eat the field mice. Well, by its size, it was doing a damn good job. And I gotta say,
Yeah, tell us.
is this the reason he's an ex? Because
Yeah, right,
this might be
exactly.
breakup worthy as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah.
Listen. I have never encountered or maybe even seen a snake that's 6 feet long, 6 feet 5 inches long. I think I would simply
I'm
pass
good.
out. I think I would pass
I'm
out.
good. I'm good. Yeah. And listen, guys, I know that the holidays are coming around. Just watch yourself out for the garter snakes that are
That's
eventually gonna just,
right.
and apparently, according to John, if you listen to NMR, the squirrels are coming to attack you with their
That's right. They
nuts.
are. That's right. With
Yeah.
their nuts. That's right.
Yes.
But anyway, guys, your generosity with us on Patreon especially has really helped us keep the show going for almost 5 years. We're about to hit our 5-year mark, Darren,
Yep.
which is crazy if you think about it, but
Yeah.
we can't possibly be more thankful for all of you out there. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you guys. And of course, you can join us at Patreon for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed. It is also in our show notes.
And of course, all links to every single thing we do, including our merch, is on our brand new website, shakenanddisturbed.com. And you can, of course, click that right in the show notes if you want to go browse around and see what we're doing over there.
And John, I know we're going to sign off our normal
Yeah.
way, but we should take submissions for 2026 and what we want to see people. Maybe that could be a
Yes.
Patreon perk as you get to choose our sign
Our
off.
sign off. Yeah, we for 2025, my sign off has been take care and brush your hair, but I'm open to
And
suggestions.
mine is please be neat and wipe the seat, just for clarity.
Just for clarity. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Bye bye.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.